B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
All right, 3 o'clock hour on the Mike Missinelli Show. 3 o'clock hour. It's brought to us by Court Police Bakery and Deli, World Face Tomato Pie and Hoagie Party Trays. Every bit is good. I gotta be honest with you, I had no concept that Damian Lillard was that good of a rapper.
He's been working on it.
He was really good.
He's going back and forth with Shaq to start this season.
Was he?
Yeah. They're having rap battles earlier
in
the year.
Smooth.
Yeah. You like his flow?
I had never seen him before.
Yeah. I didn't know he was that
rapper,
good either.
But I didn't know he was like that. He's like professional-esque.
Yeah.
And then Lil Wayne came out.
Mm-hmm. That was awesome.
Pusha T.
Yeah. That was cool.
Wow. I'm stunned.
Was his name Dame Dollar or Dollar Dame? I forget.
Dame Dollar.
Dame Dollar.
He does a good job.
Yeah, he did. I know, as a country man yourself, you don't dabble in Dame's raps.
I do.
His rhymes.
I like country music, but I listen to rap music.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
All right.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of that either. I thought you were just country.
Yeah, so
all,
did I.
Together.
Got Power 99 on the preset. And the other.
Oh, that's really nice. Are you. Why would you bring up another radio
station? Yeah, sorry. My bad.
Jesus. Oh, God. All right.
Whoops.
All right, so what are we talking about?
Basketball. President?
We're talking about, so this is the hour we're going to start. These are all multiple choice questions, by the way.
So, oh, good. Even better.
Yeah. So I guess, there you go. All right, cool. So let's do the first one to start the hour.
All right.
First one. These are all multiple choice. And we'll see. We'll keep score. And you don't have that same answer, or you could have the same answer.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
So the question one is, who ran for president with the campaign slogan "Vote Yourself a Farm"? Was it A, James Blaine, B, Grover Cleveland, C, Abraham Lincoln, or D, Thomas Jefferson? Campaign slogan was "Vote yourself a farm."
I feel like my man TJ would do that.
What are you doing?
My man TJ, Thomas Jefferson.
Thomas Jefferson has no chance to be the answer.
I'm going.
It was a Revolutionary War time. They were just rebuilding the nation. I don't think they were like.
They were campaigning about farms.
Yeah, campaigning about farms.
Okay.
I guarantee you that's wrong. But in that.
Is it Cleveland?
You're going to go Grover Cleveland?
Yeah.
All right. I'm also going to go Grover Cleveland.
Yeah.
So let's see who it was. Bam. Abraham Lincoln.
Really?
What? His first term, he ran for president with the campaign slogan, "Vote Yourself a Farm," referring to the Republican Party's promise to support legislation granting free homesteads to settlers of the Western frontier.
Oh, that's about nice. That? That's a nice slogan.
It is. And then the next term he ran was the Civil War.
Right. Term. Yeah.
All right. So we're 0 for 0 so far. Andrew, you're saved.
I'm safe.
All right, let's go. Irvin in Cape May Courthouse. Irvin.
Hey, Mike, first time caller.
Thanks, Irvin.
Hey, just watching the Major League Baseball channel before I got a hold of you guys, and they're talking a 30 to 60 game suspension for retaliation for a pitcher hitting one of the Houston players.
Yeah.
I'd like your
See, that's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It is.
They say it's easier for the arbitration to pick out one player against another, but what about the players that lost out on Houston cheating?
Well, suppose you like legitimately want to throw inside against the Houston Astros.
Exactly.
Does that mean you're going to get suspended for 60 days? So, in other words, they're benefiting the Astros by giving them better pitches to hit.
Yes. they're going to walk all over everybody.
See, that doesn't make any sense, because now you're going to be so scared to throw inside that you're going to throw cookies.
Yes.
That's a bad thing. I don't know what Manfred can do about this, but he's got a really bad problem on his hands now. So, I don't know.
Major League Baseball is like, you know, touting that everybody's scared of the union. Why are you scared of the union?
Well, the union's very powerful.
Well, come on, though. But
the union can withhold
the players that got cheated.
Well, it's funny. Like, where would the union stand beyond this? Because the majority of the baseball players, union players, are the ones pissed off that they did this. So there can't be overwhelming support to protect the Houston Astro players.
Right.
I don't know. It's a really it's an interesting situation, Irvin.
It's crazy.
All right,
it's
going
to be a wild season, sir.
Yeah, this guy could go down in history if he says, you know, because they did this, they are suspended for an entire baseball season. Yeah, it's radical, and it's not going to happen, and it's going to be prevented by courts. There will be the temporary restraining orders until it's litigated, so they're still going to play the season. But I think you got to make a statement here. Catfish in New Jersey, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Catfish.
Hey, how's it going, Mike?
What's up, Catfish?
Not much. Hey, you said you went to Bristol High School, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember Pete Cimino?
He lived on my street growing up.
Really?
Uh-huh.
He scored 114
points in a game. Is legendary in the town, legendary on my street.
Yeah.
Yes, I remember.
Yeah.
I was a small kid when he... his brother was not my age, but he was a little older than me too. But yeah, he also got drafted as a major league pitcher. Yeah, he was the pride of the little town for a long time.
Yeah, he pitched for the Minnesota Twins for a while.
Yeah, he hurt his arm.
Yeah. But
yes.
That's cool. You know, you were saying about the NBA All-Star game. You know, that's the first time I've watched the All-Star game in a few years, and I can't believe the aestheticism of these guys.
It's really incredible when you think about it.
It is. It is.
And
really,
I don't know
incredible.
How anybody can not look at that game and go, oh, my God, these guys are like poetry.
Yeah. It's incredible.
It's faster. Really it's played above the rim. It's so much different than the basketball we used to see. And I know there are all these old school guys who go, basketball was better back then. Well, I don't think so. Really. It's you have to be so fast and good to play this game in this day and age.
Yeah, it's a hell of a lot more fun to watch, that's for sure.
These guys get off 35-foot shots effortlessly. I haven't seen anything like it. That never would happen back in the day.
Well, back in the day, they didn't have three-point shots.
Yeah, that's true. But still, these guys shoot it with relative ease.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that takes... A lot of people, you try shooting a ball from 30 feet, already that NBA distance, it's a hoist. These guys make it look like a flick.
You know, the other night, I was watching a special on Pete Maravich.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, to watch the film of that guy, I remember him so vividly. The stuff he could do with the passing and the way he could shoot and stuff. And they didn't have a three-point shot then, and he averaged 44.2 points a game.
Yeah, except he couldn't play in this day and age.
No.
He couldn't defend you.
Yeah,
in this day and age.
But back then,
yeah,
he was saying something to watch.
Yes, he was.
All right, thanks.
All right, Catfish. We got old school guys checking in.
Catfish Hunter checking in.
Catfish Hunter from Jersey. Zachary in South Philly. Zachary, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Zachary.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up, Zach?
I wanted to just touch base with the Flyers. You know, trade deadline's coming up, and a couple teams have made some moves. Blake Coleman to the Lightning, and Andy Green to the Islanders, and the Penguins, of course, traded for Zucker. I thought maybe I wanted to know if you thought that the Flyers needed to make a move or not.
I don't think they think they need to make a move. And they have salary cap problems to not make a move. They only had like $2 million to work with. And there was a good story in Sunday's paper about guys that are available. All of them make more than two. They probably can afford it. There's a couple guys that make 3.2 that they were interested in. So let's see what happens. But they are limited on what they can do.
They are limited. I almost honestly don't see a real glaring need. I mean, I'm not a GM by any means. But I think that, you know, it's really interesting the fact that Nolan Patrick and Oscar Lindblom went down, who are two really young guys who, you know, they still need to develop. And it's allowed some younger some older prospects, rather, to get in the lineup, like Nicholas Obey-Kubel and even Connor Bunneman, who's like 23, I think, 23, 24. They may have not as much upside as Nolan Patrick or Oscar Lindblom, but these guys do bring, you know, some experience and some grit to the lineup, which, you know, is really important, I think.
It's very important. If they think they're close to doing something, then they're going to make a deal. I don't know what they're thinking, to be honest with you.
I don't know either, but I trust Chuck Fletcher, and I do trust I like what I'm seeing so far from him, and I really like the scheme that AV's put together, and I really hope they put together something.
AV, doing a good job, Zach.
Man, I really hope they do something in the playoffs. I really think they're going to make it.
Yeah, I think they're going to get in. You see them winning a couple rounds, maybe?
It depends who they play, who they match up against. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you what, when this team is running on all cylinders, I think they can beat anybody in the league.
Wow, if they're running on all cylinders, Andrew, they're playing the full 60, they can beat anybody.
Yes.
Can't they?
Yeah. Listen, they're a fun team to watch this year.
They are.
And I've been more locked in this season than I have been in years past. Mm-hmm. I don't think they make a big move at the trade deadline. Like you said, they have cap issues. And at the same time, it's not like the Phillies last year where we were all yelling and screaming to make a big move because there was such a glaring hole. And plus, you saw that there was talent on that team. You thought that the Phillies could actually make a little run last year.
So no player that they can acquire is actually going to make the difference from them.
I don't think so. I remember there was that report a month ago about Jeff Carter. Yeah. I don't want to do that again.
Yeah, I agree with that. Write this year off as a progression year.
Mm-hmm.
And you come back next year because there's no immediate need or desire for the Flyers to win a Stanley Cup this year.
I don't think anybody has Stanley Cup championship expectations with this team.
Right,
but
I think
the way we should be watching it is enjoy the ride and see what they can do. And I think they can squeak into the playoffs. And then I think there'll be a thorn in the side of whatever team they match up
there
with.
There you go. They got to play the full 60, though.
All 200 feet.
You know what? And this team can't get behind the eight ball early.
You love the cliches.
Let's go. Anthony in Northeast Philly. Anthony, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Anthony.
Hey, Mike. What's going on?
What's going on, Ant?
Want to talk some Sixers, man?
Yes, sir.
After the All-Star break, Thursday, you said they got the Nets, right?
Yep.
I think they come out strong against Brooklyn. You know, the big matchup against the Bucks on Saturday. That's going to be another test, like Tuesday. They handle themselves really well against the Clippers.
Yeah, that's going to be a big game because Boston handled the Clippers, too.
So I think if they come out strong Saturday, you know, they win these two games, that's a five-game win streak right there. Winning three before the break and then the two after. I think that there'll be something special to watch down the road.
You know, the schedule's very favorable to them.
Yeah,
so,
about like, the fourth easiest record in the NBA?
It's better now, I think.
Wow.
I think it's the second easiest. The Heat are the fifth easiest. So the team they're trying to chase has a pretty easy schedule, too.
They just gotta, you know, buckle down, win out, and, you know, beat the teams they're supposed to beat, especially against the Pacers. I believe the Pacers are ahead of us in the standings.
No, they're not. No,
they're behind.
No, Pacers are kind of fading. I think when you look at this, the Sixers, if you look at their schedule, and we did this last week, Tyrone had to win in 11 straight games. Now, let me say, do me a favor, when we've done this conversation, look at their schedule and see if they can win 11 straight. Because if they can do that, then we're talking.
11 straight. Huh?
11 straight.
That's a mighty good bet right there.
Well, we'll see. When you look at it, though, it is kind of plausible.
I mean, with the schedule they have, they maybe even stretch that to 12, 13.
Well, I don't know if they get all of that, but I'm giving you a chance to top out at 11. You're taking me to 13.
Hey, anything can happen. It's basketball, man.
All right. Anything can happen, I guess.
They have an opportunity to win games when you look at the schedule. They got the Bucks, their second game out of the break, but the first four games out of the break, winnable, except for the Bucks game. But if they're a playoff team, they're a team they're going to face in the playoffs. You got to go up against them. And then there's a stretch after the two LA games, the Clippers-Lakers game. It's 10 games of winnable games. They should go 8-2.
I want to do this with you, too. Brooklyn, you got dub, right?
Yes.
At Milwaukee.
I'm going to go loss because it's in Milwaukee.
Atlanta,
we're all going to lose our minds because they're not playing well on the road. That's a win against Atlanta. You gotta beat that team finally.
At Cleveland.
That's a win.
Knicks home.
Win.
At Clippers in revenge.
I think they go 1-1 in that LA trip.
At Clippers, at Lakers.
So let's go loss to the, although it's a revenge for the Lakers too. Let's loss Clippers, win Lakers.
I got LL.
Okay.
At Sac.
That's a win.
At Golden State.
That's a win. This is that stretch.
Detroit home.
That's a win.
Indiana home.
That's a win. You got to beat that team.
Wizards home.
That's a win.
Toronto home.
They do not match up well with the Raptors.
So you got L.
Yeah, because I've eight and two. I've eight and two in those 10
games. This is where Tyrone had the 11 in a row. He's going to beat Toronto. At Charlotte.
That's a win.
Atlanta at home.
That's another win.
At Minnesota.
That's a win.
At Chicago.
That's a win.
Phoenix home.
That's a win.
Portland home.
That's a win because you're at home.
Yeah.
Tough game.
All right. We'll just play long because that's a streak. Houston home.
And I think they lose that game.
All right. So they're not going to win 11 in a row.
No, I don't have them winning 11 in a row. But if I go 8-2 in that 10-game stretch, I'm happy.
So a streak of 5 in a row, a streak of 6 in a row, and 11 of 13.
Which they haven't done.
Pretty good.
Which they haven't done a lot this season.
Yeah, that would be pretty good. That would get them in there.
Yep.
All right, Eaton in Jersey. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Eaton.
Hi.
What's up, buddy?
I just wanted to talk about Josh Richardson's newfound impact on the team.
Mm-hmm.
And how he's like kind of finding his role as kind of a go-to guy in the fourth quarter of games. We saw it in the Clippers scoring 19 points in the fourth quarter, and we've seen kind of him emerge as like this new kind of player. Like, how do you think he's doing and progressing?
I think he's a good player. I don't think he's as much as what you're saying he is. I think he had one good game in the fourth quarter. He's a nice complimentary player. I don't think he's a go-to player.
I mean, he's had a bunch of like key moments. We saw it in that Celtics game where he got the key steal. We saw it Miami Heat game where he had that. You know, it wasn't really him, but he missed the free throw and Ben got the putback to send it over.
No, he's a digger. He's a nice player. He can't shoot the three, and that holds him back a little bit.
Yeah, it definitely does. But I think it's like off the dribble play definitely mirrors that of a Jimmy Butler type player. I think. He can kind of emerge more into that kind of role as the go-to
guy. I'm not seeing all that.
I don't know. I'm seeing that he's really progressing because he's still a young player. I think if he kind of fits in because he's been plagued with injuries a lot. We've seen all the defensive end with him and how his impact has been dramatic.
Yeah, I'm not arguing with you. He's a good player. You're taking it up a level I'm not ready to go with him. I think he's a complimentary player who can make some plays for you, but he's not a go-to guy like Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, I definitely don't see him as a Jimmy Butler, but I see him as a guy that might be able to fill kind of a role next to Tobias and Embiid as the closer.
Yeah, no, a good player. Hopefully, you're right about being the closer, but I don't see it.
Mm.
All right, buddy.
He's a big complimentary piece.
He's a very nice complimentary piece, but I don't know. He's a go-to guy.
It was pretty glaring when he was out. They were 2-5. He missed a total of 6 games, but he left early in that first game. What, against the Raptors? He was out early.
Yeah.
So I chalked that up 2-5.
I'm not going to complain about him at all. I'm just like when you talk about him in certain contexts, I can't go all the way there.
He did have a huge fourth quarter.
He did
against the Clippers.
Yes, he did. They were. I don't think they were paying that much attention to him.
No, I think you're right. It's an ad bonus. If the guy can score.
Yeah, I need some. This is President's Day. We gotta up the quality of the calls here on President's Day. Yeah. So that's why it's wide open for an upgrade on our telephone lines today. 610-632-0975. And of course, the presidential trivia. We heard the song, so let's go to question 2.
Yay.
Temple versus Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
It is Andrew and Nat, Temple Products. By the way, what kind of an idiot am I that I didn't bet Villanova Sunday? I can tell you, it was -6.
I may or may not have.
Did you take Villanova?
I may or may not have.
I forgot.
While wearing my Temple gear.
I thought the game was at 4 o'clock, so I'm watching. I forget what I was watching. And I'm looking at the card, and
Yeah, 1 o'clock start.
So I get to the game, and Villanova's up by 12, and I go for the live line, and the live line has Villanova minus 11, and I don't pull the trigger.
Oh,
I don't pull the trigger on the live line minus 11. What is wrong with me?
Yeah, Temple played tough the first half, and then Villanova was just a better
screaming
team.
Screaming bad! I forgot to put it in. That was that phony Big Five line.
Yes.
Minus 6.
Yes, you're right.
All right, here we go with the presidential trivia. Question 2. How many future U.S. presidents signed the Declaration of Independence? Was it 4, 6, 0, or 2? Andrew and Nat?
4!
Andrew's gone 4.
I'm feeling 2. I'm feeling 2.
You're going to go 2?
Yeah.
I will also go 2 because I think only Jefferson and Johnny Adams.
Yeah, because Washington didn't sign it.
Signed it.
Washington didn't sign it.
If I'm not mistaken. Let's see. 2.
So we're tied.
Yes. Nat won.
All right.
Mike won. Andrew still on the schneid.
I just want to hit the drop, that's all.
610-632-0975. Back with your calls after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, let's get the update on our Twitter poll. Brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons with Natalie Eganoff. Natalie.
Thanks, Mike. Over 1,700 votes on this one so far. Should the Astros be banned from baseball this season? 62% say yes, 38% say no. So as you predicted, the yeses have increased.
Yeah. Now, here's an interesting idea I just got from Wendy. And Wendy says, Mike, I was wondering what would happen if all the teams scheduled to play the Astros just refused to play them for the entire season. Granted, they would be awarded a forfeit loss, the Astros a win they didn't earn, putting the Astros in the playoffs. But considering they would have not played any games all season, I would think that that would impact their readiness in the playoffs to play a team that has been playing all season.
Huh, so to boycott them.
Yes. But the problem with that is that you're cutting off your nose to spite your face.
Right.
Because the object of your city's team is to get in the playoffs. So suppose you have a 4-game series with the Astros and you forfeit 4 straight games.
Yeah.
It's going to hurt your chance. I mean, that's a bad losing streak.
Right.
So are you going to take a losing streak to put forth a principle when the idea is to go out and win games to get your own team in the playoffs?
It's a good idea in theory.
Now, here's the thing. Like, if you know that the revenue, your revenues would drop. Your home team revenues would drop.
Oh, yeah.
But
totally.
It would also make Houston's home team revenues drop. Because after a while, home fans know they're going to show, they're not going to see a game if they show up. So they would stay away.
Yeah.
So they would stay away for a whole season, costing you a whole season of revenue. Your team would only have to stay away for a short series.
Yeah, you can't do that. We talked about that earlier today, too, the midday show. And we were, with Anthony, I was just like, you can't completely forfeit games because you're going to lose so much money.
Yes.
With all the concession sales and when people come in and buy the jerseys or the kid gets the little Phillies hat.
Yeah, nobody is willing to sacrifice money to put forth a principle.
Right. But I do think
in today's day and age,
a lot of players from that team should be suspended. So I said earlier, you should have the AAA Astros team play as the Astros this season. Well, you're not going to be totally AAA because there's going to be some players that weren't involved from that 2017 team. Like, I'm sure the Astros have mm-hmm. some new players this year. So maybe those guys are the ones that stay on the roster. The players that were still around in 2017, they get suspended. Now, you could also make the case that those players who have moved on to other teams should also be suspended.
Right, like anybody who was on that team.
Like the first, right. Francisco Liriano signed with the Phillies, right? Mm-hmm. He was with the Astros. So he would be a guy that would have to be suspended too. Even though he's not on the Astros anymore, he didn't benefit because he was a pitcher, but you know what I'm saying.
Mike, in a strange way, do you think this could benefit baseball? Like kind of, it's kind of resurging.
I actually said that earlier. Though.
It's kind of, did you?
How would it benefit me?
I feel like it's kind of making people pay attention to it, whereas they really, you know, the argument is that baseball's losing fans, baseball's losing interest. Kind of piques the interest of some people now that they're paying attention and there's all this, you know, competitiveness and people are angry and players are speaking out. Well, the drama.
It's mostly the players that are angry.
But
when the steroid thing came about, were the fans angry?
For the sake of being angry.
I think at the beginning.
Because it was a bad message to kids. It's always about the kids.
Right.
But then they got over it completely.
Now people are asking for it to come back.
Right, so do you think the people are that angry about this? Is it the players who got cheated
the
most angry?
Well, the players are angry, and I think that's why people might be a little bit more invested to see how this season goes.
The question is the drama enough? Like, you talk about how much you love the drama that also goes with sports.
Right.
This is a lot of drama.
Yeah.
Now, is this drama enough to entice? Because baseball is losing viewership. It is losing interest in the masses.
See, here's the thing I can't get past, and maybe this is just me, and people are ripping me for it, but it's really logical the way I think about this. Baseball has always been a sport where you semi-cheated to get an edge. Right, no matter what you want to call it, right? You're programmed to try to get an edge on the opponent. It's always been like that. And so now this comes along, and I go, okay, they got the ultimate edge because they used technology to do it. So, like, okay, they were caught, and now there's going to be changes, and they're going to try to prevent it from happening. Does the public really care that much? Or are they that outraged that Houston did this? Is my question.
I feel like the majority of people are.
You think so?
Yes. I think the majority of people are. I think part of the reason why it may be a little more quiet is that it is so deep into the offseason right now. Like, if they got caught mid-season, I think it would be even louder. But they're getting caught in February. You know, January was when it really started making headlines. I don't know if that has something to do with it. And I know what you've been saying it for a while, the whole, listen, baseball, you've been cheating in baseball forever.
It's a mindset in baseball. Like, if people convince you, hey, you can get an edge here if you do this. You can get an edge if you stick a hypodermic needle in your buttocks. And then you come back and you go 3 for 4 the next day because you're feeling stronger.
Right.
Right? You can't resist. In baseball, it's so difficult to perform that you can't resist a way to perform semi-illegally. Not illegally, but in that sense of the word. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, putting Vaseline on your hand.
That's right.
Your
cap. Baseball players are desperate because they know it's a hard thing to stay in that game. If you're a fringe player, star players don't have that same problem. But star players have the problem of expectation where, like Bryce Harper has this monster thing of expectation. It's almost impossible not to fall into, if somebody lures you with a way it can make it easy for you to perform, that you go there.
Right, but this is a little bit more than getting an edge.
It was the ultimate edge, and it's a reflection of our time. It's a reflection of our times, is it not?
I mean,
my God, we've got
insane.
All kinds of technology. We have a doorbell that checks out a UPS guy who comes to your door. There's nothing sacred anymore.
I know, but like, it's kind of insane that they were wearing wires. That's nuts. That's nuts.
Yeah, I think they went.
That's
too far.
Like next
level. They say they didn't wear wires.
Yeah, they say. Yeah.
There's no way to prove that they did.
They also said that it didn't impact the game.
Which is
the owner said that. He was stupid. All right, let's go to Greg in Bethlehem. Greg, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Greg.
Hey, guys. I've been thinking about this Astros debacle for a while, and I can't make up my mind
whether the, how they could be so stupid or so arrogant that they thought in the day of free agency when players are moving around and, you know, the word would get out there sooner or later that they were going to get away with it. What's your thought?
Why wouldn't they think they're going to get away with it? You know what? It took somebody to dime them out for them to get not to get away with it. It was 2 years later.
Well, but it was when you have players like in the old days before free agency, I would be a hell of a lot easier. But now, with players moving around like they do, and you know somebody that might get disgruntled because they cut them or traded them or whatever. It just seems like there's such a high risk that the word's going
to
get out.
Yeah, I get where you're going, and that's exactly what happened with Fires. He left the Astros, went to the A's, and he tells the people what the Astros did all these years. So you're right about that. It does take a special kind of arrogance to think you're going to get away with it. But like I say, they're only in the moment. The moment for them is that we can win a World Series.
Right.
And that's the lure of it. Sure. And if we win a World Series, our salaries are going to go up, and we're going to be able to ask for raises, and all that stuff comes into it. It's almost, you almost have to be Superman to say no.
Well, it's a golden carrot out there for sure. I hope they get slapped pretty hard so nobody else thinks about doing it.
Yeah, well, they're going to have to change the whole system. And like what I said was they're going to have to signal the pitcher's going to have to wear a device. If a manager's calling pitches for him, no more signals from a catcher. So whoever's calling the game, pitching coach, is going to have to wire, so like a wireless connection, and it like makes two little buzzes for a curveball.
Yeah, or you do you go back to the old school where you do the pats on the body as the catcher.
No, because that's still going to get deciphered.
Unless you change it every inning.
It's going to get deciphered. Yeah, well, this
you have
the
to
hassle.
Change it every inning.
It's a hassle changing
it
every
is.
It's a hassle changing every batter. And you're still going to be able to have somebody with binoculars that's going to be able to see the signals and try to decode it. So if that now it's not going to be done electronically anymore, but you're still going to be able to steal signals. So what's the difference? Just make it an electronic wireless. And you know what's going to happen after that? They're going to intercept the wireless transmission.
Or it's going to rain. It's going to short circuit.
You're never going to get ahead of it, no matter what you do. 610-632-0975. Mike Missanelli Show, back after this.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Uh, 346, Mike Missanelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. All right, let's get back to this premise of the lure of cheating or doing something that is outside the box of fair play. All right, now, so let's take me for example, right? Now, steroids went around when I was playing. So I'm playing Division I college baseball, and there was like one guy on our team who got drafted, another one signed with a team non-drafted, right? So that's the level of how good you have to be.
Right.
So like I wasn't at that level. Now, if some shady guy knocked on my dorm room and he said, "Hey, listen, dude, if you do this, you got a chance to actually play professional baseball." What would I do at that point? Am I thinking, you know, that's a bad example for the kids?
No, you would say yes.
That's a bad example. But of course, it's the lure. It's like, if that's like what you do, you play baseball in college, you think you're going to be good enough to get to the next level. Everybody does it, right? So now I know I'm not good enough to get to the next level. This guy goes, if you inject yourself steroids, you could be good enough to get to the next level.
Yeah, you would do
so
it.
So it's all about, like, if you could, if that can increase your performance. Now, I'm not saying it's right. I'm not advocating it here. What I'm saying is the lure of that is almost impossible to turn down. So now, whoever came out with this scheme that we can use technology and video to decipher a code that makes it easier for you to succeed, are there players that are going to say no to that?
Probably not. I wonder if there was like a mandate in that locker room. Like, I wonder if a player was like, "Nah, I don't want that help." They're probably like, "No, you're going to get it because we want to win."
I can't imagine that anybody would say they don't want that help. Like, who would say that?
Nobody would.
Listen,
probably
when
say
you go up to the plate, you're going to know what he's throwing. I don't want that. I'd rather guess. Like, seriously. It's almost impossible for a guy to get, nah, I don't want that.
But I wonder how they felt doing it. Like, here's the thing. Like,
you know how they felt doing it?
They felt good
because they were succeeding. And they were talk of baseball, how good they were.
Yep.
And they were all like, oh my God, this guy, his next contract's going to be monstrous. It was all about, you know, the way it is.
Yeah. But I mean, like HGH, okay, there is testing, right? And and they fail those testing, right? There's no testing for
No,
for
that's
technology.
What I'm saying. It's like almost safe. Like, you're not going to get tested for using illegal video.
Yeah, but then when you eventually get caught, this is what happens. And they're trying to talk it down.
At the time, yeah, they shouldn't be talking it down. The players really aren't talking it down. The owner made a mistake by being a dope.
A couple of players said, I don't know how much it helped. It's a hard game as it is.
The players are getting perturbed that now their entire ability is being challenged.
Right, and I said earlier today, the worst thing that could happen is they go out there and they have great seasons.
It's all fun and games until you get your eye poked out. Your mom told you that, right?
Yep.
All right, Pete on the cell. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Pete.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
What's up, Pete?
Nothing much. I just want to talk to some Eagles with you, kind of shift gears.
Go ahead.
I don't know if you saw Darius Slay. They said he was on the trade block. I know the Eagles tried to go after him last year before the deadline. I was wondering what you thought about the Eagles kind of concentrating on wide receiver and maybe filling up some of the holes that, you know, we'll see in the offensive line.
I like it. I would like Darius Slay. I'd be up for that, a trade. He's almost 30, though, isn't he?
He turned 29 January.
Okay, all right. Well, that's under the cut. So, and yeah, that's a few years out of him.
He's got 10 years left on his, he had a four-year deal. He's got 10 years left this year, so I guess you could look at it as a rental. But I did see some trade propositions. I actually laughed at the one. It was Sidney Jones in a third rounder. I don't know who in the right mind would do that. But then again, it is the Lions. Then I thought maybe, you could bookend them with maybe grab another guy like Chris Harris. We do have $46 million in space.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to get two free agents to play corner. But okay. One free agent and a trade. Slay is an interesting acquisition. I would be all in favor of that. He's big. You know, he's tall. He's rangy. Good player. Solid. Kind of underrated because he plays for that crappy team.
Yeah, and then, you could always sign him to an extension, if he ends up being,
No, I like it. That's a good idea.
And then the other thing was, I guess, focusing on the line. No one really talks about it. I mean, the line, it's like the AARP team. Kelsey's, he's going to be, 33 or whatever this coming year. I was thinking of maybe, getting one of those, since we have a million draft picks, getting, Slay or whatever, and then drafting wide receivers, and then focusing on either a center or a guard. There's a lot of good centers. There's a ton of guards. It's a guard-heavy draft. There's 11 guards in the top 150. So I was thinking of maybe getting, Connor
McGovern. Look at you, man. You are focused already.
Oh, I'm dialed in, Mike. we got Connor McGovern. He's probably going to go between 3 and 5. We could probably, if he falls. And then even Michael Jordan, the kid from Ohio State, he's projected a second or third rounder, but I mean, if he falls to third or fourth, I feel like
your ideas, man. You're like an assistant GM.
Yeah,
I mean, your ideas. That's a good job by Pete. He's looking ahead. our focus is completely right now on basketball.
Basketball,
but we haven't really gotten around to, you know, because the combine's coming up and all that stuff.
Oh, we'll be around the corner.
We'll be getting to that stuff.
The corner.
Did you watch any of the XFL this weekend?
Two plays? Yeah, what happened with Penn State's finest?
Oh, Matt McGloin. What was he doing?
Is he throwing people under the bus?
He was asked, because they're doing the interviews, but this one was walking into the locker room at halftime, and they asked him, like, what's going on with the offense. And
blame the coach, right?
He basically ripped the offense, the offensive coordinator, all that kind of stuff, and then he got benched.
Similar to wrestling, do you feel that this could possibly be manufactured? Just wondering.
Matt McGloin is always kind of a little hothead.
Right,
so
but
I didn't know what that. Maybe it is. I don't know.
But it's owned by Vince McMahon.
There could be a plot to it.
Well, and then they're doing the shotguns with the seltzers after the game. It all just feels a little too.
Yeah,
I
can't be bothered.
They were probably asked. They were probably asked to be a little extra.
Because I'm sure. Yeah, and they're doing the interviews on the sidelines. As soon as you throw an interception, the sideline reporter is going over and asking. So that's what makes a difference.
There was a running back who fumbled this weekend, and he was interviewed immediately after he fumbled. And he was, like, harsh to the reporter and short with the reporter and didn't really want to speak. And it's like, all right, that kind of sucks that this guy who just fumbled has to immediately go in front of a camera and a microphone and talk.
And what are they going to do if they don't? Like, what are they going to release him?
I don't know. Maybe it's part of their contract.
It's part of their contract, but maybe. It's like you can't force a guy.
When requested.
Well, it's ridiculous.
Which is why I think it's a little manufactured, but
it could be. Well, I got no interest.
Allegedly, there's some tweet floating around. Yeah. I don't know how true it is that Philadelphia is putting in for a team. I don't know if it's true. There was no other sources.
That last week, so.
The report is that they bought a URL for like Philadelphia XFL or something like that.
Oh, anybody could have done that. I could buy
that.
I don't know if it'll fly here. 610-632-0975. We're going to roll into the 4 o'clock hour. Presidential trivia at the top of the hour to start the hour. So far, Nat and I are tied at one apiece. South Chino's not on the board yet.
No.
But that'll change.
It's only been two questions.
Yeah. We'll be back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.